What an astonishing claim. What an astonishing poem. What an astonishing prologue to the Gospel of John. How is it that an itinerant rabbi, preacher, healer, could then somehow be seen as not only this great preacher and teacher and healer, but God himself, the incarnation of God, the one who was with God in the beginning, when God began to speak and to create all of creation there, that word that was spoken there, that rabbi was that. What an astonishing claim. How in the world is it possible that the early church came to see that that one was that one? Oh, amazing. The Word incarnate. The light of the world. The one who created, entered into creation, in part because, well, creation had gotten to be such a big mess. Right? I mean, we were created in God's image and in God's likeness. And we were, in another part of Genesis, right, God bends over and breathes the life of God into us. God's breath breathed into us. That's how we live. Remember when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness, he says, the tempter says, turn the stones into bread if you're hungry. And Jesus says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God. And so this word, this life that comes out of the mouth of God comes into us. But somehow that word, that breath, that spirit, we've chased after other spirits. We've chased after other forms, other words. And God's like, oh, wow. And not only did we do that, but then we blamed it on God. We started to think that God was the one who wanted us to do the things that we have done. Like, you know, to create enemies and to go and destroy them in the name of God. And at some point God said, this is not it. They have forgotten who I am. So they sent, he sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus becomes the one who reflects to us who God is. If you want to know who God is, watch what Jesus does. Walking into the world, among the poor, among the outcasts, among sinners like you and me. What's God doing walking around with us? I wouldn't hang out with us. But God does in Jesus. And not for judgment, but as Ephesians says, for reconciliation. To reconcile all of us to one another and to God. To know who God is. And every word that comes from God, this is kind of a Lutheran thing, but I think it's true too. Every word that comes from God is a promise. Right? In Jeremiah, we heard this great promise that it's about Jeremiah talking to the people who are in exile, and he said, don't worry, you're coming back. You get to go home. It's all income free. We're going home. And it's a promise. And it's going to happen because the same God who spoke, and as God speaks, God creates. So that's the God who says, you're going home. And when that God speaks, it happens. And your mourning gets turned into joy. And when God says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That is both a statement of fact and a promise. In the darkness, this light will shine, and the darkness will not overcome it. Now I know there are some of you who are living in the midst of darkness. I know there are some of you who have lost loved ones very recently. There are some of you who every Christmas is a real chore to get through. It's a struggle. It's a darkness that tends to descend upon us. And for some of you, it's very, very recent. But this is the promise. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not, is not, will not overcome. The light, which is life itself, the life that comes from the breath of God, will not be overcome. In big ways and in small ways, the light shines. So we went back east, you all know this, and had a big family post-Christmas party, and my sister-in-law Cheryl and my brother Mark hosted this, and my sister-in-law Cheryl's mom, Marge, her husband, Ken, died fairly recently, so here she is. She's struggling with the death of her husband of 70-some years, and it's Christmas time. And on top of that, Ken, every year at the Christmas Eve Mass, sang O Holy Night at the Mass. This is just, everybody knew this is what happened at St. Pius. Ken sings O Holy Night. Beautiful voice, lovely. I can only imagine. I've heard him sing, just beautiful, right? But it's at the Mass, right? Midnight Mass, O Holy Night. Oh, beautiful. There it is. First year, she hasn't heard him sing that at the Midnight Mass. And it's the first thing that she says when we walk. She walks in and she comes, and I'm, you know, I hug her, and I'm this is the first time I've seen her since her husband died. And then I'm so sorry, you know, and she's like, oh, and she tells me the story. Midnight Mass. My husband sang that for 25 years at St. Pius. Never have I missed it in this year. He didn't sing. He wasn't there. That's her story. And it's hard. It's dark where she is. But she joins the party, she comes in, and you know, and she ends up, she tells everybody this story. Right? It's like this is her story for right now, for Christmas. So the evening goes on, lovely party, lots of people, you know, 50 of your closest relatives, it's great. And but at some point, everybody stop, everybody quiet. Karen's gonna sing. Well, Karen is a niece who has a gorgeous voice, and Karen's going to sing. I didn't know we're going to have a concert here. So Karen gets up, and everybody's listening, because when she sings, it's like Merrill Lynch, when somebody talks, everybody listens anyway. When she sings, everybody listens. And she says, Marge, this is for you. And she sings, O Holy Night. And it's so beautiful. And Marge is just like transfixed and transformed. And she gets done singing. And it's like, Marge says, oh, that was beautiful. But she didn't just mean it was beautiful, it was great. But I'm thinking, that was light. That was life. That's the light that shines in my darkness. There it is. There it is. For everyone who is feeling like there is darkness, I want to encourage you by the promise of God. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. when we have lost a loved one. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When we hear of illness and sickness, the light shines in the darkness,
and the darkness has not overcome it.
When we hear of wars and rumors of wars and conflict, the light shines in the darkness,
and the darkness has not overcome it.
This is the promise into which we enter. So Christmas is for celebrating, but it's also for remembering the promise and for hearing it again. Howard Thurman has a couple of beautiful pieces. One of them is this. It's a prayer. I think it's just a beautiful prayer for this day of the second Sunday of Christmas. Lord, Lord, open unto me. Open unto me light for my darkness. Open up to me courage for my fear. Open unto me hope for my despair. Open unto me peace for my turmoil. Open up to me joy for my sorrow. Open unto me strength for my weakness. Open unto me wisdom for my confusion. Open unto me forgiveness for my sins. Open unto me tenderness for my toughness. Open unto me love for my hates. Open unto me yourself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me. The promise of God, the promise of God incarnate, is precisely God opens God's self unto us, offers God to us, breathes new life into us. All of you who have been baptized know this mark of the sign of the cross on your forehead. New life. And it's like God bending over. And I think it's like that God putting God's, I have the image of God putting God's forehead on our forehead, so that his mouth and our mouth are at the same place and breathing into us life, grace, truth, and love. These are my gifts to you. Hold them. Live them. Take them in. These are my promises to you.